Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We're going to look at what we call the Christmas story as presented in the book of Matthew this week. We said yesterday that Bullinger said there are four distinct presentations of the Messiah in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew, he is presented as the King and his kingdom. Behold thy King. In Mark, he is presented as Jehovah's servant. Behold my servant. In Luke, he is presented as Jehovah's man. Behold the man. And in John, he is presented as Jehovah himself. Behold your God. We have said yesterday that the book of Matthew is the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ as King and of his kingdom. When he came to this earth, Israel was looking for a king and a Messiah. Now, we want to look at the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. We're going to find out where the first mention, we're going to look back in the Old Testament and see why were they looking for a king? Why were they looking for a king Messiah? It had been 400 plus years of dry times. They were under the iron fist of the Roman beast. And they were yearning for God's deliverer to come and set them free. Why? Well, let's look at the book of Samuel. In Samuel, at Shiloh, there had been the tabernacle for 365 years that the tabernacle had been set up at Shiloh. And that's where the people went three times a year for the feasts of the feet. Israel was in a terrible drought. They were in a spiritual drought. Eli was the high priest. He'd been a good man, but he was not a good father. The priesthood was inherited. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they had fallen even into lying with women at the very door of the tabernacle. They were cheating the people. Horrible things were going on in their lives, and they would inherit the priesthood. So Israel was indeed in a time of spiritual drought. Now there was a very good man named Elkanah, and he came up every year, just as the Lord had told him to, and told all the Jews to come up and worship before the ark of the Lord. So he came up with his two wives, one of them Hannah, and one of them Peninnah. And Hannah had no children. The other woman had lots of children, several children. But Hannah, she was loved very much by her husband. And it says in chapter 1, 1 Samuel, unto Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She had no children. Verse 5 and verse 6 tell us two times, the Lord had shut up her womb. So she was so burdened that she did not have any children. The Jews particularly want to marry and replenish the earth as God told them to do. And she was so sad, and her husband told her, don't be grieved, I'm better to you than 10 sons, but she would not be placated. And she rose up in Shiloh as they went there to worship. And she was in bitterness of soul, it says in chapter 1 and verse 10. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Actually, she traveled in the spirit, not loudly, only her lips moved. And verse 12, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? Put away your wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Out of my complaint and abundance of complaint and my grief have I spoken. And so Eli said to her, Go, and the God of Israel will grant your petition that you have asked of him. Then she rose up. She found grace in his sight. She went her way. She ate, stopped her fast, and her countenance was no more sad. She went home, and her husband and she came together. And it says at the end of verse 19, The Lord remembered her. And she brought forth a son and named his name Shmuel, we say Samuel, because I asked him of the Lord. Now she promised the Lord that she'd give him to the Lord. So when he was weaned, and it was older than we wean children, maybe 5 years old even or something, she brought him up to give him to Eli. And verse 26, she said, Oh my Lord, as my soul lives, I'm the woman that stood by you here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now as she gave him to Eli, the spirit of prophecy came upon her. She begins to pray and prophesy. Chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. And as she goes on, she says in verse 5 in her prophetic rejoicing, The barren hath borne 7. But if we go on down and we read past her prophetic prayer, we find the number of her children enumerated for us in verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and she bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew up before the Lord. 3 sons, that's 1, 2, 3. 2 daughters, that's 4, 5. And the child Samuel, that's 6. But in her prophetic prayer, she said, The barren has borne 7. Well, who is the 7th one she bore? In her prophetic prayer, she says in verse 10, The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. His king, his anointed. Israel has had no kings. His king, his anointed. His anointed one, it actually says. She prophesies here, and the 7th one she bore, this is the word, of course, his anointed is his Mashiach. That's the Hebrew word for anointed, the anointed one, the Mashiach. His king, his anointed one. And so he is known from this time as the King Messiah. Israel is looking for him as the Mashiach, but they are also looking for him to set up a kingdom upon the earth and be the King Mashiach. We could read many, many scriptures in the Bible about this kingdom that's going to be set up, but I've chosen just a few, Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Yahweh Sabaoth, God of hosts, God of armies, he will perform this. He will establish his kingdom. The kingdom of the Mashiach. He's having a kingdom. He will sit upon the throne of David, and he will have a kingdom. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king cometh unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. They're looking for a king. They're looking for a kingdom. Zechariah 14:9 prophesies of when he does come. And Jehovah and the Lord shall be king. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Isaiah 2:1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, God calls, when he's talking about the flesh Jews, he calls them Jacob. He doesn't call them Abraham. Abraham had another son, Ishmael, and then Keturah had six sons after Sarah's death. He doesn't call the Jews Isaac. Isaac had another son besides Jacob. He had Esau. But all Jacob's 12 sons make up the 12 tribes of Israel. So when he's talking about the flesh, Jacob and his progeny, it's the flesh Jews. Now, Jacob, that father, that patriarch of the 12 tribes, when he got ready to die, he called his sons to him. And Genesis 49:1 records this. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the end of days. King James says latter days, but the Hebrew says end of days. So Jacob tells each son. And then he comes to Judah. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter, that's what a king has. He's going to come from the tribe of Judah. Numbers 24:17. This too is a prophecy by an evil soothsayer, but God put the words in his mouth, Balaam. Numbers 24:17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. Here we see that there's coming a star, and the star has something to do with the coming of the king. Shalom.